Welcome to CLCC Online. We pray that this message draws you towards Jesus and strengthens your walk with Him. We believe that we were meant to do life in community. If you live in the Fraser Valley area, we would love to get you connected into the family. Find everything you need at clcc.ca. Enjoy.
Hey everyone, thanks for joining us this morning. We're in week 5 of our It Is Finished series, looking at the last words of Jesus from the cross and how they impact our lives. While driving one day, coming home from a meeting, I pulled up to a red light. I looked to my left and I saw an older gentleman out of his vehicle and he was struggling with his trailer. It had popped off the hitch and he was trying to get it back on. And what made it worse was that he was on a slant, and every time he lifted it up, it started rolling towards his vehicle. I remember saying to myself, "Oh man, that sucks." And then God saying to me, "Why don't you help?" I had this internal dialogue with God, and I said, "Well, there's nowhere to park. I'm going in the opposite direction. I'm just too busy right now. I have a full day of things I'm doing. I'm meeting someone else." People just kept on driving around him. And I remember saying, "Someone else will stop and help." And what God said to me in that moment was, "What if that someone is you? How would you feel in that situation?" And in that moment, I was overwhelmed with compassion. I turned, I pulled off to the side of the road, I ran across the road. We both lifted his hitch back on to the lifted the trailer back onto the hitch. It only took around 3 seconds, and I said, "God bless, and I went on my way. See, it didn't take much time out of my day. I was moved by compassion in what God was asking me to do. In the Gospel of John, amidst the anguish of Jesus on the cross, we encounter a moment of profound tenderness. Jesus, in his final moments, turns his attention to his beloved mother and his beloved disciple. This passage speaks volumes about the essence of compassion, the depth of human connection, and the importance of community. Today, we'll be looking at what compassion looks like in the midst of our pain, that a new family is being created, and that we have responsibilities to embrace in our lives. Let's dive into John 19, 26 and 27 and uncover those truths for us today. It says this: "When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, 'Woman, here is your son.' And to the disciple, 'Here is your mother.' From that time on, this disciple took her into his home." Let's pray. God, we open ourselves up to you today. Pray that you would speak to us. Thank you for this moment that Jesus has on the cross. Thank you for this moment of compassion that we can learn so much from. God, we just pray that you would speak to us this morning. In your name, amen. See, in this moment, compassion transcends the pain. Jesus on the cross, he has this crown of thorns that has been shoved on his head. His hands and feet are nailed onto the cross. And amidst the agony that he has on the crucifixion, Jesus demonstrates profound compassion by entrusting the care of his mother, Mary, to the disciple, John. This act of compassion in the middle of his own suffering shows us a genuine compassion that extends beyond personal pain and propels us to respond to the needs of others around us. See, in Matthew 9:36, it says this, that Jesus had a compassionate heart towards those of the crowd. He looked at them with compassion, seeing them as lost and without a shepherd. Colossians 3:12 tells believers to clothe themselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, highlighting compassion as a foundational aspect of a Christian character. As we dive into the concept of compassion, we realize that it is not merely a sentiment, but a transformative force that moves us to action. The parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10 vividly illustrates this principle, showing how genuine compassion compels us to go out of our way to help those in need, regardless of their cultural or societal barriers. In Philippians 2, 1-4, it says this, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." This challenges us to embody the same mindset as Christ, who humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death on the cross, exemplifying the ultimate act of compassion. Jesus's compassionate actions on the cross serve as a powerful example for us to emulate in our own lives. We witness Jesus entrusting the care of his mother to John, demonstrating a concern for her well-being even in the darkest hour. This act challenges us to move beyond just feelings to tangible expressions of compassion in our interactions with others. Whether it's comforting a friend in distress, feeding the hungry, or advocating for justice, compassion calls us to actively engage in the sufferings of humanity. Even in the midst of our own trials and tribulations, God's compassion sustains us and enables us to be people that comfort others. In 2 Corinthians 1, 3-4, Paul reminds us that God is the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us through all our troubles so that we may comfort those in trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received. This reciprocal nature of compassion reminds us that we are called not only to receive comfort in times of need, but also to extend the same comfort to those around us. But there's challenges that we face in our understanding of compassion. In today's world, self-preservation and individualism often dominate our actions. See, many times we find ourselves ignoring the sufferings of others, prioritizing our own needs above theirs. We might even turn a blind eye to the struggles of those around us, maybe due to fear of getting involved or sheer apathy. But by actively seeking to understand the experiences of others, we can overcome indifferences and self-centeredness in our lives. Our ability to show compassion in action is hindered by our hesitation. Rather than hesitating or convincing ourselves that someone else will do it, we should take initiative to support those in need. During our own times of struggles and the times that we are suffering, it's hard to see other people. It's hard because we are focusing on what's going on in our lives. The pain might consume us, and it makes it difficult to focus on others' needs. Even in the midst of our own challenges, extending compassion to others can create a sense of connection with them. We see that on the cross in Jesus. In the midst of his pain and suffering, he was able to focus on others. In moments of despair, we may withdraw from the world and become cynical. We might even doubt our ability to make a difference in people's lives. See, we need to cultivate compassion in our lives, to find the hope and purpose to make a difference in people's lives. No matter how big or how small those changes might be, God calls us to make a difference. See, secondly, God is creating a new family. Compassion that creates a new family. I have the privilege right now of coaching my son's soccer team, all 9 and 10-year-olds. I look at them as being a little family. It's cool to see how they've even grown in the last 4 weeks that we've been together. From the start, not even knowing each other's names, and everyone either wanting to play goalie or striker, to this last week actually looking like a team. spreading out, knowing their positions, passing to an open player in space. See, everyone can't be a goalie. We have some that are really good at goalie. We have others that if a ball is kicked at them, they duck or move in the other direction and the ball goes in. Everyone can't be a striker. Not everyone is really good at kicking the ball and getting goals. Everyone can't be defense. We would never have anyone going up and scoring goals. As they've been practicing and playing their games, we're able to see where they best fit within the team. I just love seeing kids from all over Abbotsford coming onto a team and being able to work together. Isn't that exactly what the family of God is supposed to be? See, Jesus on the cross is redefining the boundaries of family, emphasizing a spiritual family, one that would go beyond just blood. By entrusting the care of his mother to John, Jesus expands the concept of family to include all who belong to the family of God. Mark 3:31-35 echoes this sentiment, and it says this: Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, Your mother and brother are outside looking for you. Who are my brother and my mothers? He asked. Then he looked at those seated in the circle around him and said, Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. Jesus declares that whoever does the will of God are his mother and brothers, highlighting the importance of a spiritual family in the kingdom of God. As we look about the new family made by Jesus, we see how everyone in God's family is connected together. There is a unity that brings us together. In Galatians 3:28 emphasizes that in Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for all are one in Jesus Christ. This unity is further illustrated in 1 Corinthians 12, where Paul compares the body of Christ to a human body, which each member plays a unique and essential role. Just as Jesus entrusted the care of his mother to John, we are called to embrace and celebrate the unity within our spiritual family, recognizing that our unity is found in Christ. The love and care demonstrated by Jesus on the cross serves as a model for us of how we are to love one another within the family of God. By loving one another as Christ has loved us, we bear witness to the identity as followers of Jesus. Love is both the bond of unity and the evidence of our connection to God. So in a world characterized by division, how do we reorient our view of family? Well, first, I think we need to expand our boundaries. We would do anything for our families. In the drop of a hat, we would be there to help in any situation. See, God is trying to tell us that we need to break out of the walls of just our immediate family or our blood and say there is a unity found in the family of God. A tangible question would be is, do you know your neighbors? Are you building relationship with the people around you to share the love of God? Secondly, we need to celebrate this unity. Rather than conforming to societal pressures, we can appreciate the beauty and richness within the family of God. See, valuing each member with their gifts and their perspectives enhances our understanding and strengthens our unity. And thirdly, we can cultivate love. By prioritizing selflessness and resolving conflicts with love and compassion, we maintain this unity within the family of God. And our last main point this morning is embracing compassion. What does it look like to embrace this compassion in our lives? I love this quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and it says this: Action springs not from thought, but from the readiness for responsibility. I'm going to say that again. Action springs not from thought, but from a readiness for responsibility. I think that's where it starts, with knowing that there is a responsibility that we need to live by. We need to have mutual support. On the cross, amidst his suffering, Jesus demonstrates profound care by entrusting the care of his mother to John. This act shows the importance of mutual support and responsibility within the family of God. Galatians 6:2, Paul tells believers to bear one another's burdens, fulfilling the law of Christ. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, he emphasizes the role of encouragement and building one another up within the community. Our responsibilities extend beyond words. It moves to tangible acts of love and support. Jesus showed us the ultimate act of love, going to the cross. But we need to overcome self-interest. We need to overcome complacency. See, self-interest and complacency may tempt us to prioritize our own needs above others, neglecting our responsibility to support and uplift others. See, embracing this responsibility will change our schedules. There will be things that we need to say no to. There will be things that we need to say yes to. There will be things that God wants to uproot out of our lives so that it can make room for what he wants to do in our lives. Second, we need to be servants, servant leadership. Jesus's act on the cross is a powerful example of servant leadership, where authority is expressed through sacrifice. In Matthew 20, 26 to 28, Jesus teaches that true greatness comes from serving one another, not seeking to be served. It says this, "Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be a servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And he gave his life as a ransom for many." Philippians 2, 3 to 4 calls believers to consider others as more significant than themselves, looking out not only for their own interests, but also the interests of others. See, as members of the body of Christ, we are called to lead by example, humbly serving one another in love. So we need to embrace that servant leadership. Our pride and our ego can sometimes hinder that ability to embrace that, as we might crave recognition or validations for our actions. See, it's only through humility and a willingness to serve without seeking acknowledgement that we can lead by example and inspire others to do the same. And lastly, faith in action. Our faith is evident in our actions, particularly in how we care for those in need. James 2 emphasizes the importance of putting our faith into actions through works of compassion and mercy. As we live out our faith in tangible ways, we reflect the love of Christ to the world around us. So we need to step out in faith. We might doubt or we might have some insecurities that might hold us back, but we need to understand that God is calling us to trust in him, to rely on him, to put those fears of failure or rejection to the side and trust in God. In his strength and in his guidance, we are able to overcome. We'll be able to become more courageous in what he's called us to do. See, despite the challenges we face, we are called to rely on God's grace and empowerment to fulfill our responsibilities within the family of God. So where are you today? Do you need to know the compassion that transcends pain, that through your pain, God can bring life, that God can bring meaning, that God could bring someone to come alongside you, that you can share in someone else's pain? Do you need a revelation of the family that Jesus has created, that the boundaries are being expanded, that we are called to a unity within the family of God, to bring people in, to share the love of Jesus? Or do you need to embrace the responsibilities that God has for you, by supporting one another, by being servants in our leadership, and putting your faith into action. Allow God to speak to you. Let's pray. God, again, we just thank you. We thank you that you care. You care about everything that we're going through, God, and I just even pray for anyone who's feeling so much pain or turmoil or is just feeling empty, God. We just pray that you'd be there with them, that you'd bring people alongside them. God, we thank you for the family of God that you are creating and that you created, God, that you've called us unity. You've called us to be the family that you've called, God. And so we just love you so much that you are the head of this family, that you lead and guide us, that you transform us. And God, we just pray that we'd be able to step out, to take on the responsibilities that you have for us, that we'd be able to embrace them, that we'd be able to understand them, that we'd even be able to change our schedules if need be, to be open to what you are doing in our lives. In your name, amen.
Thanks for joining us. If you're looking to get connected, we are one church in multiple locations. Our Aldergrove campus meets at Parkside Elementary School Sundays at 10:30 a.m. Our Abbotsford campus has two services each Sunday, 9 a.m. and 10:45 a.m. We would love to see you at one of our in-person gatherings. If you would like to financially support us, you can always give at clcc.ca/give. See you next time.